Good afternoon, Ms. Epps, and first of all, may I get you to state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Romney LM 057743.
Thank you, Ms. Epps. You appear for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections, Arizona Department of Corrections, for a 412B 411 hearing. That is a hearing to consider moving you to the next consecutive sentence or absolute discharges. That the reason that you feel that you are here this afternoon, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay, and based on information that I have observed, and please feel free to make any corrections that you want to, but before I do that, I would like to introduce you to the board members who are present this afternoon, and they are the Honorable Mr. Lee Caronis, to your right. Next to him is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. Next to the Honorable Mr. Neal is the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. And my name is C.T. White. I'm going to serve as your lead for you here in this afternoon. As I was stating previously, based on information that I've observed, that you're currently serving a sentence for child abuse, adult abuse, and that was is a 21-year sentence, and the sentence began on November 15, 2004, and you will become eligible for parole come July 13, 2019. What that means is that if the board decided to move you to the next consecutive sentence, it would not become effective until July 13, 2019. But although you've already been approved if the board sees fit to move you forward. And your SED date is listed as November 5, 2020. Is that information correct as far as you know, ma'am?
Yes.
And if this board decides... Oh, please go ahead.
As far as I know.
Okay. And if this board decided not to move you to your next consecutive sentence, or if you move you to your next consecutive sentence, we're looking at a child adult abuse, and that's also a 21-year sentence, and it will have its beginning on November the 5th, 2020. And you will become parole eligible on that particular one on November 5, 2034. And your SED date would be, I'm skipping some, but your SED date would be that of September 19, 2036. And that's the information that's been provided to the board. In other words, if the board sees fit, you would be paroled to your next consecutive sentence. You're currently serving one sentence for 21 years, child adult abuse, and if you move to the next one, it would be child adult abuse, and that would also be for 21 years based on information given to the board by the Department of Corrections. I would just point out the fact that based on information that we have, you also had another sentence, and that was murder in the second degree, but that one has expired. Therefore, we are not talking about that one at all, since it has already expired. I also take note that you have had some disciplines along the way, and the most recent one, as I observed, I believe, was December 28, 2017, and on that one, that was for theft and possession. That was a minor. And in February of 2017, you had disobeyed a verbal, and that was informally resolved. And just before then, we go all the way back to 2011, and that was account, and on that one, that was a major. You had two majors. So what was going on back in 2011? Do you have a recollection why you had these majors back in 2011, ma'am?
Oh, because I would not stay out of my friend's room. I got him out of area because I was in a room and I knew better, you know, because I knew better. I just wasn't thinking because, you know, my mind is just, wasn't thinking, and I just should have listened to the officer when he told me to stay out, so he just kind of wrote me up for out of area.
Okay. And your most recent one, what was that about? The one, the theft of possession. Now, what was that one about? That was back in December 28, 2017. Do you remember why they wrote you up for that one, ma'am?
The possession?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Oh, they was thinking that something I had my radio or something like that, and they thought it was mine, but it was mine.
Okay, so that one was yours, although they wrote you up on mine, okay.
And it just didn't work no more, but it was mine still.
Okay.
I, you know.
I do take note that, you know, over the years since you've been incarcerated, that you had a number of disciplines. In fact, you had about 3 pages of disciplines. So have you kind of gotten organized now where you won't have any more disciplines? What's going on in your life at this time?
I haven't had a major since 2011.
Right. But Father, then you had a number over the years, so what was going on that you just didn't get adjusted? What was going on in your life that you ended up with all these disciplines over the years?
I just think because of the situation, it was like eat me alive, and I'm so remorseful that it was just eating me alive, and I just didn't know which way to go besides call on God, you know?
Okay, so now you...
I just let God lead me in here, and I'm such a changed woman that I wish I would have had the change that I got now out there. I wouldn't be on this phone with you guys.
Okay, so now you know which way to go. Now you've gotten adjusted?
Yeah, and I've learned a lot in here. I have changed so much. I have changed the woman that I should have been out there 30 years ago. And I'm just so remorseful. It's just like eat me alive, and I just have to, you know, get right with God and just let Him lead me in here, you know, and do the right thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I got it right in 2011. I just went right up free, you know.
Okay. Well, we're glad to hear that. That is the positive, and we're glad to know that you're finding yourself in recent years. Also,
It took a minute, but I got with God, and he helped me along to find who I really am. So, and I'm such a changed woman that God is like a blessing, a miracle overcame me, you know. So, and I really been right up free since 2011 with the majors and minors. I just really don't do what I used to do. I've gotten older now. I was younger then, you know, but I've gotten older now, and I realize life, how it really is, you know.
Yes, ma'am. And we're so glad to, I'm so glad to hear that. I would also take note that I believe the last time that you appeared before this board, the Board of Executive Clemency, would have been back in April of 1995, and that was for a special hearing. And at that time, you was not recommended to the governor. I don't believe that you've been before this board since then, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, and therefore, you've not had the opportunity to meet any of the current board members, because none of us was on the board back in 1995. Therefore, this is the first time that board, as it is constituted now, is having an opportunity to meet with you. I would point out that it seemed to me that your crime dates back, the original crime, dates back to November of 1984, November 20th, and at that time, the victim, who was 31 months old, ended up having fatal injuries. Do you remember what happened then, ma'am? Do you have any recollection at all what happened back in November of 1984? That I believe this was your child. Am I correct, ma'am?
You're correct, sir.
And it was you and your and the stepfather, who was, I guess that was your husband, who was the co-defendant. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct, sir.
Okay, and so what was going on with the two of you? How did your child end up with these injuries and that ended in the death of your child, a 31-month-old child? Do you have any recollection? And the only reason I'm asking you, I read the prisoner's report, I read other documents, but I feel that sometimes you can tell me better than what I'm reading. So I want you to tell me, or tell this boy, rather, what was going on? Why did this happen, man?
Anyway, it was his birthday. My co had a birthday November the 19th, and he wanted us to go down to his mother-in-law's, which my mother-in-law at the time, but now she's deceased. So we was all down there and, you know, just celebrating his birthday party. And then my old man said, I'm going to go over here and get you some, weed. And I said, okay, you know, marijuana. And so when he lit that, I hit that, it smelled it, and it just didn't, I don't know, it was either dipped or something. And for him to bring that back to me and not tell me exactly what it was, I was like, it just, I don't know, I lost my whole, I don't know, my mind was gone. I couldn't even think.
And so what happened with the baby? What happened then, with the victim? You hit that.
And then and then after that we was getting ready to leave from his mother-in-law's, and his mother-in-law had told her to say goodnight and all that, so we was going back to my place, and we got in there, and he just started going off, fighting and swinging and all this stuff. And at that time when he was doing all that swinging, my baby came running to me, and at the time when she ran to me, he went to swing, and he accidentally and swung, and it hit her, and she hit, and her head hit the floor.
Okay. Let me ask this now. Was this, was your co-defendant, was this your boyfriend or your husband? Which one was it?
No, it was my boyfriend.
Okay, so this was your boyfriend. Okay, so he hit the baby, and the baby's head hit the floor. But how did you account, I'm just asking, how did you account for the other injuries that was on the baby that predated this event? According to the experts, he already had some soles and some scars already on him. So what? So how did they get on him, on her? How did they get on the baby?
Well, you know how he was acting that night, he was just swinging. So I kept just grabbing my child and grabbing her, and he kept swinging. So that last swing, like I was telling those two lawyers a while back, when he swung, he actually didn't hit the baby, and she hit the floor. So being that they live like that, they look bodies easy to bruise, you know what I mean?
But she had some bruises before that day, though, didn't she?
No, she didn't have nothing on her.
Nothing at all.
No.
It was on her prior to that day.
No.
Okay.
But because you know how you have to bathe your kids and stuff like that? And bathing her and washing her, no. She didn't have none of that on her, sir.
Okay. But I do tell you. Go ahead.
I would know because my CPS had just brought her, and no, she didn't have none of that on her.
Okay, but I do take note, according to information that's been presented to the board, that initially you stated that that she was choking on food. It doesn't sound like
no,
that.
No.
No, she was not choking on food?
No, I never said she choking on food, no. Never said that.
Did you ever say that she was beaten by the babysitter? Did you ever say that?
A babysitter?
Yes, ma'am.
No, she was in CPS for a minute. She was never with a babysitter.
Okay.
No,
okay.
She was with a CPS. Now, what? I'm not saying that they bad people, but whatever went on there, I don't know, because when my baby got sick, she was in the hospital. The next thing I know, they had took her CPS. So, but as far as a babysitter, when he brought her, no. I never had her with a babysitter, no. 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 And she was never choking on no food. I never even stated those words throughout my life in this place for these last 35 years. No.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is, I just want to make sure that I understand that. That basically what you're saying, what happened was your boyfriend actually hit the baby real hard, and the baby hit her head against the floor, and as a result of that, at the end of the day, the baby was deceased. Is that what you're telling the board?
Yes, sir. And that's exactly what I told the Arizona Project of Justice, too. They was a lawyer, and the lady that runs the Arizona Project of Justice, O'Connor, and then she had a lawyer there training them for the interview that I had a while back over there at Sun Improved. thing I just told you today. I said it to that lady, Miss O'Connor, and some lady lawyer she was training. Exact words. I don't know where the joke came from because I never stated it, so.
Now, based on what you said, and then I'll move on, but based on what you said, why are you incarcerated all these years? I mean, your boyfriend actually hit the baby, who hit the floor. So what was your role? What did you do? Did you do anything at all?
Well, the police that night, they got me for accessory to second-degree murder, and then, after that, that's exactly what the police told me. I got you for accessory to second-degree murder because you didn't prevent it. Well, I tried to prevent as much as I could that night. I mean, if I was that type of a parent, I wouldn't take my kid's life. I just wouldn't hurt my kids. I don't care what, you know, the world would have thought, but I love my kids to death. I love them all three of them, I love them, and I just wouldn't do that to nobody kid, not even my own, not nobody. It's just in a bad relationship I was in, and this guy, oh my God, it's really heart failure to me to even, you know, think about it halftime, but I was in a terrible relationship, I was a young parent, and without him, I could have made it on my own as I was, and it's a terrible situation. And like I said, I'm so remorseful that it just like eat me alive, you know. I think about it every day. I had to lose a child in a bad relationship. And I've learned so much in here by the grace of God. And I've came to this changed woman that I don't see myself as that woman out there, you know. I'm a totally different woman. I can see the light.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I just want to make sure that I understand, and I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I just want to make sure I understand. You're telling this board that you had nothing at all, this is a question, that you had nothing at all to do with the death of your baby. That was just your husband, I mean your boyfriend, and you just happened to have been there when it happened, and that's the reason you were charged. Is that what you're actually telling the board now?
I'm telling you exactly this. I was trying all I can to prevent my child, not myself. I could care about me if I get hurt, but I was trying all I can that night of that, losing my child from this terrible man that I thought that was a man, a good man. I try to take my kids before I take myself. And yes, I am saying to you, when the police arrived, he said, since you, the parent, and you didn't try to protect this, I'm going to have to charge you with accessory to second-degree murder. Exact words. I don't forget nothing. I keep it all in my mind, regardless where I'm at, regardless how long it's been. Sir, God gives me all what I need. So I've learned that by the grace of God. So.
I'm glad that you learned that, but I'm still trying to understand, but I will move on because, as you say, you know what happened. I was not there, it's what you're telling this boy, what you're telling me, rather, is that you did not physically harm that child at all. So that's basically what you're saying, and I'm correct.
I would never do that, and then the reason why I was still here because they offered me a plea bargain for 22, the max they could give me, and I refused it because I wanted to fight it. I wanted to prove my innocence to these people, so I took it to trial and I lost. And they gave me 22, the max, but when they give you 22 years, the max, they can't give you or take none. But somehow they did something dirty and gave me 10 years. And that's like wrongfully convicted there. You can't do that in a state of law. That's why I still was here for 35 years. I didn't enter a plea for 35.
Okay, well, as you know, this is not a court of law. Now, we cannot reverse the decision that was made by the court.
I know that. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
I know from my heart that you guys can't. But I'm letting you know that's why I was still sitting in here, because of that reason with the judge. You know, because they want you to enter a plea, and I just wasn't going to do something like that. So I took it to trial, and I didn't know if I was going to been a doctor, because I don't know about the law. I was a homebody, you know. I don't come out. I never hardly came out of my place, so I didn't really know much about nothing. I was 21. I was a young parent, so I don't. But now that I've gotten older, I see life so much different that I wish I could have seen it now. I wouldn't be standing on this phone right now sitting talking. If I was the changed woman I am now 30 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys right now.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that you feel at this time that you are a changed person. But I will take note since you mentioned about the court, but you did go to the Arizona Court of Appeals. Am I correct? And your conviction was affirmed there, and the sentence were affirmed as well. In the Arizona Court of Appeals, am I correct?
Yes, you are, sir.
Okay. Now, had you had any contact with law enforcement prior to this incident, ma'am?
Did I have any contact with them since?
No, before. Before that night, had you had any contact with law enforcement?
Oh, yeah, many nights. Many nights I called the Goodyear police, many nights calling them on him, many nights. They came, they used to come out so much at my place. Oh my God, many nights. And then, you know, he come back doing all this crazy stuff. Oh, it was terrible. You know, you can say what you can say on this phone, but it's like in person, it's so much different, you know, but it's terrible. I don't know, but I just thought that he was a good guy, and if I knew what I knew, I would have never been there, but it's just been a bad relationship, and I wasn't, you know, strong enough to peep all that, so... Like I said, I was a young parent just trying to raise my kids, and I have family that was there for me. They come and get them sometime to get them off my hand, and this guy, he just was a monster, and he was in prison too, but I think he got out.
Okay. Well, let me ask this. Since you've been incarcerated, have you had any psychological help at all?
Have I had what?
Psychological, mental health, anything?
Oh, like talk to you and stuff?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I have been with the mental health. They see me a few times here and there and talk to me and stuff, yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you on any kind of medication?
No, not at this moment. I was on medication throughout the years, you know, but I guess... This place gets the pills that they had me on, they got too expensive, so it's like 2001 that was the last psych pill in here that I've taken, so.
Let me just ask one or two other questions. What happened to your other two kids? It seemed to me that you were the mother of three kids, am I correct?
You're correct, sir. Two girls and one boy.
So what happened to the other two?
CPS had took them.
Had they taken them before this incident took place?
No, they took them that night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that night. But he's grown now, got their own kids now. Right. That was like in 84. But yes, they did that night.
Do you have any contact with them at all now, your kids? The two kids, do you have any contact at all with them?
Yes, a little bit here and there, because, you know, now they've grown and they didn't move on their own, but I get, like, a message, you know, through a letter from family members that, you know, say hi and they love me and stuff like that, yeah.
Do you have any other family members aside from the two kids that you stay in contact with?
Do I have any what?
Family members.
Oh, yeah, meet his family because I lost them all in here. They all didn't pass on, but I have what God left me, and that's like my daughter, my son, my 9 grandbabies. I got my cousins. I got my sister, one sister, and I got my brothers. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this, I'm gonna see if my other board members might have some questions. The Honorable Mr. Kiwanis has questions for you at this time, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. A. Ms. Epps?
Yes, sir.
I want to follow up on a question just because I want to understand. Did you say that your partner bought some marijuana the night of the death?
Of the party? Yes, he did.
And you thought it was dipped in something?
Huh?
You thought it was dipped in something?
Well, I thought it did. Well, no, I didn't think it was dipped in nothing. It had to be, because the way it smelled and it, the smell of it just kind of, oh man, it just, the way my head was, I couldn't even think, sir. I couldn't think.
I'm just trying to understand this. You think that it was dipped in something. What do you think that it was dipped in?
Probably sherm or something, because I've smoked weed throughout, you know, here and there, you know, marijuana, and it didn't affect me like that.
I'm not trying to trick you here, but had you smoked little? I'm just trying to understand this. Had you smoked sherm before?
No, I never did that ever.
So
I was the only thing I ever smoked, and I say it this day, February 28, 2019, I smoked nothing but pot.
Okay. So.
And that's all.
What is that? This marijuana affected you differently. How did it affect you?
Well, I couldn't even think. My head seemed like my body was going, but my mind was just, I don't know, like you're driving a car and it just stops for no reason. You know what I mean?
Okay. So
that's how my mind was. I just couldn't get it. I couldn't. Oh my God. I mean, it's not a long story, but it's so difficult to explain when it's not that person. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, you said that you protected your child the best way you could, so how did you try to protect her?
Trying to fight this one back.
Fight what back?
The guy I was with, he's way bigger than me, but I was still trying to fight him back, you know, trying to hit him and fuck him and everything, trying to protect all my kids that night. You know, it just happened to the little baby. She just, you know, ran. She just run. They run. She just ran to her mom. And I'm trying to hold her, and he's swaying, trying to hit me and accidentally hit my child, and she hit the floor, and that's what she died of, a blow to the head.
Okay, and... You were arrested that night? Were you arrested that night?
Oh, yes, both, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Were you injured at all?
Excuse me?
Were you injured at all?
Oh, yeah, he just, like, hit me a few times in the face and kind of choked me that night, and just all kind of crazy stuff, and I used to call the police all the time. I was like, oh my God. I didn't know how to get out of that relationship. It's terrible. I tried.
And
oh God.
What happened to your partner after you were arrested? What happened with him?
He took a plea.
To what?
And he took a plea bargain, I took it to trial. My co-defendant?
Yes. So,
yeah,
do you know how much prison time he got?
He took a plea for 42.
42 years?
Yeah, but they said he's out. That's my co-defendant, and I was told he's been out.
So, when you were arrested that night, did the police do any... What's the word? Did they look into your injuries or any injuries that you had from that evening?
That night?
Yeah. Or did they give you a blood test about anything that was in your system?
No, not that night. I think they were just more concerned about just more concerned about this baby. They wouldn't really did nothing like that. They just took me down to the station. I think they were more concerned about the child. That was their main source that I could see, yeah. So that was their main source.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Epps.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Kalanis. Any further questions by board members? I don't see any further questions by board members. Let me just ask another question, ma'am, before I move on. What is this baby's name?
What's my, excuse me?
Yeah, the baby that was, that died. What was that baby's name? Because you never stated the name. You keep saying that child or something. You never heard the name.
Oh, Anne-Marie, I'm sorry, excuse me, I apologize for that. Yes, you do have a name, but that was on me. My mind was...
I understand. I just wanted to know because I've now heard the baby's name. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Anne-Marie.
Okay. We're going to move on now since I see no questions. Is there anyone in the room who's supporting Ms. Epps today? Anyone in the room supporting Ms. Epps? Any supporters for Ms. Epps? I see none. Do we have any victims in the room? Any victims in the room? I see none. But we do have a representative from the county attorney's office, and I want to welcome him again to the board. And I will say, as he's coming, we do have a letter from the county attorney's office dated February 26, 2019. And I would like to invite this honorable gentleman from the county attorney's office. And although we've heard it 11 times, so to speak, but what is your name, sir?
Thank you, Dr. Wright. My name is Matthew Elias. I'm a deputy county attorney with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office.
Welcome to the board again, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have had the privilege to appear in front of this board numerous times, and this isn't the type of case that I usually appear in front of the board or that my office usually appears in front of the board. Usually, our appearance involves cases where there are victims present or where there are life sentences or multiple life sentences at issue. And that's not the case with Ms. Epps. As the board knows, she is in front of the board on a 412B to her next 21-year consecutive sentence for child abuse. So this isn't the type of situation where I would normally appear. But in this case, reading the facts and reviewing this matter, I felt personally as though this was an appropriate case to make a personal appearance and address the board. There were some questions earlier about the co-defendant, John Samaniego. He was arrested at the time. He was convicted of 2 counts of child abuse. He was not convicted of second-degree murder. I do not know what the circumstances were that involved him not being convicted of any of the murder charges, but he was convicted of just 2 counts of child abuse. He received 2 21-year consecutive sentences, and he was released on parole back in 2016. So that's the situation with the co-defendant. I'm not going to rehash all the information in the letter or in the pre-sentence report. The board can read the pre-sentence report and see the inconsistencies in the statements that were made back in November of 1984 by Ms. Epps with the statements that she is now making. What strikes me about this case on a deeper level is the victim in this case, Anne-Marie Epps, was born April 2nd, 1982. I was born a couple weeks before that. Because of the inmates and the circumstances, that child never got to grow up and go to school. That child never got to make friends, go to birthday parties, play sports, go to high school, go to dances, date, perhaps go to college, get an education, make friends, build a career, have a family, have social media. have a life. That child was in a situation where the inmate in this case was the caregiver. That child looked to the inmate to protect her and nurture her and raise her. And rather than do that, Miss Epps abused her daughter, beat her daughter. And those statements are in the pre-sentence report. In the pre-sentence report, she makes more statements about hitting her child and beating her child. Even at this point, at this hearing, Miss Epps is not taking responsibility for her actions. She is not showing remorse for the loss of her daughter.
I have a lot of remorse.
She made a statement earlier in her presentation that she wasn't that type of parent, but the type of parent she was is resulting in a situation where her daughter went to the hospital covered with contusions, lacerations, and welts that extended from her forehead to her ankles. After she died at just the age of 31 months, the chief medical examiner of Maricopa County classified the injuries as a case of torture, that it was the worst case he had seen in 25 years of forensic pathology. Additionally, the chief medical examiner concluded that the victim died from child abuse, that the injuries were consistent with having been struck by a folded wire or an extension cord, since some of the injuries appeared to be fresh, while other injuries appeared to have been dated and had been sustained over a period of time. That's consistent with child abuse. That is the situation that this inmate put her daughter in, that eventually resulted in her tragic death. So based on the nature of the crime committed, the loss of human life, the age of the victim, the lack of remorse that Ms. Epps is showing, and the numerous disciplinary violations that number over 100 since she's been incarcerated, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office requests that this board not parole Ms. Epps to her next consecutive sentence. And the Maricopa County Attorney's Office requests this board ensure that this inmate serves the entire period of time that she has been sentenced for this horrific abuse and death of her daughter. Are there any questions?
Questions? Well, let me just... Thank you, Mr. Hagan.
Yes, Honorable. Sorry.
Well, let me address again the questions from Ms. Epps. Seeing none. Ms. Epps, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination, makes its decision. So we will give you this opportunity now, and then the board will go into discussion.
Excuse me?
Yes, ma'am. What do you want to tell, anything else you want to tell the board at this time?
That I have learned my lesson in this place. And when Attorney Journey was talking, I don't know where he gets that kind of information, but I have learned my lesson in here. And like I said, I'm so remorseful, and I'm a changed woman, and I just want to move on.
Thank you so very much. Ma'am, now the board is going into discussion.
Okay.
We're going to ask that you remain quiet, but please stay on the phone, because in Arizona we operate under the open meeting laws, where you can hear everything that we say. We say nothing outside of this dais itself. We have never discussed your situation. So now, just remain quiet. The board is now in discussion. Board members, this is a sad case from my perspective. as one board member. I'm not sure, I'm just going to put it my way, that we're talking about the same case based upon what Ms. Epps has said to us. We've had an opportunity to review the pre-sentence report. We've had an opportunity to review other documents. We've had the opportunity to review the letter from the county attorney's office. We've had the opportunity to listen to the county attorney. And Ms. Epps, what she's saying is not realistic at all. I'm not sure whether it's because of her medication or lack thereof, or she's forgotten, or she just did not. Please be quiet, ma'am. The board is in discussion now. Or she just don't remember at all. But it is totally, in my opinion, totally inconsistent. And for that particular reason, just as one board member, I just feel that she needs to be denied, moved to a next consecutive sentence or after discharge. Yes, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, sir. Particularly striking to me was that she never used the name of her child until you asked. And I would agree with you.
Honorable Mr. Perez.
I echo my colleague that it was very concerning, the level of disassociation between her and her daughter, and I agree with you, sir.
Okay. Therefore, at this time, I'm going to offer a motion based on the reasons that we've already talked about, and my motion is going to be to deny Ms. Rosie Epps, ADC number 057743, to deny 412B, that is moved to a next consecutive sentence of 411, absolute discharge, and that is my motion to deny.
Second.
Motion by myself, seek your right to deny. Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Perez and the Honorable Mr. Neal. I'm also going to recommend a one-year set-off. Any objection to a one-year set-off?
No, sir.
Hearing none. Wish we could do more, but we cannot. Under the laws of the state of Arizona, release type that we denied today was 412B, 411. Reasons for denial would include serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, serious or bodily harm. I believe, and board members, you may disagree, I believe that the victim's harassment, because I believe that this baby had been harassed over a period of time.
Would you consider multiple victims as well?
Multiple victims, and as much as there were three other kids, two other kids, three all total. Although we did not talk about it, I did not go into any detail, but I'm also going to include her prior criminal history, because she did have a criminal history as a juvenile as well as an adult. For whatever reason, there's no family or community support that I have observed today. I don't think she needs the release plan at this time. I'm going to put, unless I hear otherwise from board member, poor demeanor during the hearing. And by that, I mean she is just unrealistic with what she was saying to the board. And that's the only reason I'm going to check that one, unless I hear from other board members. This is mine, and if anyone disagrees, I will not check it. She needs closer supervision, because I don't think that she is living in reality at the moment. This is just one board member's opinion. Anything else that any board member feel that we need to include? Okay, hearing nothing else. Ms. Epps, you heard the decision of the board. You have been denied. You'll be certified to come before this board in about a year from now. And you heard the reasons. Is there anything that I need to go over with you again, ma'am?
Well, Yes, yeah, it's the two things you should need to go over with me. I should have stated my daughter's name, and that's on me. I apologize because I was trying to hear everything you had to say. But I apologize.
Okay, we're not going over everything again, but as it relates to the decision that you've been denied, anything that you that I need to repeat why you have been denied your release today.
I can't hear you.
Is there anything else that I need to say regarding the board denying your move to your next consecutive sentence or your absolute discharge? Anything else that I need to repeat?
What absolute discharge?
That you were denied.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that, but then when you said discharge, I didn't catch that, so I just was trying to get an understanding. So I don't know when the next one then.
We're about a year from now, the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, the Arizona Board of Corrections will certify you in about a year from now, and you will be certified to appear before this board again.
In 2020?
Yes, ma'am, in 2020.
Oh, I thought it was July of 19.
No, ma'am. The board voted for a one-year set-off. Therefore, this is 1 year. Therefore, will be sometime in early 2020, ma'am.
So will it be in 2020 next year?
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So the hearing is over. Thank you so very much. And please put the CO3 back on the phone at this time, ma'am. Or ask the next person to come forward. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.